At 37, Julie Yip Williams sat across from her oncologist, hearing words no young mother wants to hear. Stage 4 colon cancer, 6-15% survival rate. Her husband Josh would later obsessively research these statistics, desperately seeking hope in the numbers. But Julie's reaction surprised everyone, including herself. "Numbers mean nothing to me," she said. "And why should they?" Her very existence was already a statistical impossibility. A blind girl who escaped communist Vietnam, survived a harrowing sea journey, gained partial sight through surgery, graduated from Harvard Law, built a successful career, and became a mother to 2 daughters. The odds of developing non-genetic colon cancer at her age? Less than 0.08%. Statistics had never dictated her story before. Julie's relationship with impossible odds began at birth. Born with congenital cataracts that left her legally blind, her grandmother suggested giving her something to sleep and never wake up, believing her disability would bring shame and burden to the family. When her parents reluctantly took her to an herbalist to concoct a life-ending potion, the herbalist refused, calling it dirty business. Julie's great-grandmother finally intervened with words that would define her granddaughter's life. "How she was born is how she will be." Years later, a Manhattan palm reader would examine Julie's hands with fascination, her right palm showing a long, prosperous life, her left suggesting illness, frustration, and early death. "You're one lucky girl," the palm reader said, connecting this contradiction to Julie's eyes. That reading taught Julie something crucial: focus on how far you've come, not what might have been. Her memoir, praised by Sanjay Gupta as required reading for anyone with a beating heart, transforms terminal illness into profound philosophy, not about fighting death, but about learning to live authentically in its shadow. 3 weeks post-surgery, Julie returned to the treadmill, visualizing herself strangling cancer cells with a chemo-empowered sword. Her FOL Fox regimen, administered biweekly through a chest port, brought brutal side effects: neuropathy, nausea, fatigue, mouth sores, hair loss. But the physical assault was only part of the war. In the first 24 hours after diagnosis, thinking about her daughters reduced her to uncontrollable sobs. The thought of missing Mia's transformation or Belle's evolution tore her apart. For self-preservation, she initially stopped thinking about them. Her life became governed by CEA levels, a tumor protein. When her CEA dropped, hope surged. When it climbed, she felt herself diverging from the living. One test showed 1.8, normal range. Then retesting revealed 17.8, a roller coaster adding emotional devastation to physical suffering. The worst moments came from excruciating mouth sores. One night, overwhelmed, she lost her temper with 4-year-old Isabel, then cried alone. Her daughter found her, placed a small hand on her head in silence, then invited her to sleep in her room, extending love and forgiveness. Cancer strained her marriage in unexpected ways. "We're on divergent paths," Julie wrote. "Mine toward death, his toward a new life without me." Despite Josh's loving support, Julie discovered cancer was ultimately a solitary journey. When he missed her 5th chemotherapy for work, her sadness revealed a truth: she must embrace this alone. This realization echoed her pre-cancer life, when solo travel had been her greatest bliss. She'd visited all 7 continents, mostly alone, experiences that soothed her soul and quieted her anger. With 20/200 vision in her right eye and 20/300 in her left, legally blind, navigating unfamiliar places taught her patience and courage. Her most profound experience came in Antarctica before turning 30. Among majestic glaciers in deep silence, she felt closer to some serious answers about what it all means. That sense of smallness and insignificance returned with her diagnosis, bringing truth and conscious living. "The truth is, we each enter and leave this life alone," Julie reflected. "Birth, death, and all living in between is ultimately solitary." This wasn't pessimism, it was preparation for the ultimate journey everyone takes alone. Yet, paradoxically, cancer brought unexpected gifts. During a profound afternoon with Dr. C, her former obstetrician who had delivered both daughters, Julie suddenly realized, I'm really, really happy right now. Cancer had deepened a relationship with someone who had always made her feel safe. Unexpected gifts emerged throughout her journey. On her final chemotherapy day, her cousin orchestrated a surprise in Times Square. A giant screen displayed, "Congrats, Julie, on your last chemo session today. We love you." Julie wept uncontrollably. Having carried deep feelings of being unwanted from childhood due to her visual impairment, this public gesture made her knees buckle with emotion. Even getting a puppy, Chipper, brought unexpected joy. His unconditional love and our simple daily rituals, picking up his waste, tossing his squeaky frog, brushing his coat, shield me from everything I don't want to face. In those moments, there is no cancer, no future, no past. Just that second, and then the next, and him. Most significantly, her cancer journey deepened connections with hospital staff who became her angels during this dark time. From Costa, who prayed fervently, to Karen, who shared her own mother's death from colon cancer, to her surgeon David, who offered his home and cried with her. These relationships reminded Julie that even in the darkest valleys, human connection illuminates the path.
"You cannot give up hope," people told Julie, but hope felt like a lie when death loomed. Her mother's escape from Vietnam revealed hope's mercurial nature. 300 people crammed onto a fishing boat for a month-long journey to Hong Kong. Her mother survived by entering a state of blank whiteness, no expectations, no hope, just survival mode. After each cancer setback, Julie vowed "fuck hope" to protect herself from devastation. Yet hope proved irrepressible, tied to her spirit. Julie struggled with the cancer community's forced optimism. Desperately ill patients sought miracles from questionable treatments, spending their last dollars on unproven remedies. When Julie told her oncologist she'd stopped taking supplements because she couldn't believe in them, he said, "You don't believe because at heart you are a scientist," the greatest compliment he could have paid her. Julie's strength came not from denial, but from facing reality with grace. As Camus wrote, "In the midst of winter, I found there was, within me, an invincible summer." This invincibility wasn't about raging against death, it was about facing mortality with serenity.
After "How are you?", Julie heard, "How are the girls doing?" most often. Her children knew she was dying, though she doubted they grasped its full weight. She believed in the gift of grief, grieving together while alive so they wouldn't face it alone after. Some professionals recommended sparing children, but Julie believed they needed these feelings to create lasting memories. Her younger daughter, Belle, showed uncanny wisdom through contradictory bedtime stories, one where a princess is rescued from a dragon's stomach, another where the prince finds a new princess. When Julie said she was getting sicker, Belle asked her age. After Julie said 40, Belle declared that was old. When Julie explained many live to 80 or 90, Belle looked into her eyes. "Mommy, you're not gone yet." Julie created tangible legacies, purchasing their neighbor's apartment to design a 2,529-square-foot home where her children would grow up, and recording life stories. One night, she shared how childhood blindness taught her determination. When she finished, Mia said, "I won't forget, Mommy, but you should write it down."
Julie's memoir title reflects her unique perspective on mortality. Born blind in post-war Vietnam and nearly euthanized as an infant, she achieved what seemed impossible: elite education, a high-powered career, marriage, and children. When diagnosed with cancer, she felt she had already had her miracle and was witnessing its unwinding. As treatment options dwindled, her oncologist proposed crazy off-label immunotherapy. This would disqualify her from future clinical trials, mostly phase 1 safety studies with success rates possibly as low as 0.1%. Josh believed that tiny chance justified fighting, but Julie questioned becoming a lab rat when the endgame remained unchanged. Julie wrestled with a fundamental question. Who shows more courage, the patient enduring grueling treatments for the slimmest hope, or the one who walks away to enjoy quality time? Perhaps courage is personal, she reflected, defined by which path is more difficult for the individual. Julie chose to die at home surrounded by loved ones, wanting her children to witness death as natural. She died on March 19, 2018, exactly as planned. Joshua described the unexpected, jarring lightness, relief from 5 years of frenzy and fear. Julie transformed from terrified patient to wise guide, showing how confronting mortality teaches us to live authentically.